Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. Today we are going to talk about how to homeschool on a budget. So you guys know that we are a homeschooling family. We always have been a homeschooling family. And obviously we live on a budget and we were able to pay off our debt and all of that while we were homeschooling. And so I get a lot of questions about this and other homeschooling related topics. I'm not a homeschooling expert, but I can share with you guys some of the things that we have done that have helped us be able to live on a pretty strict budget and pay off a ton of debt, all while keeping our kids home. So I was prompted to record this episode because one of my sweet followers on Instagram, Kathy, asked me about it, and she was like, this would be a great podcast episode. And I was like, you know what, you're right. So here we are. Before we dig into that, I want to bring you guys another review of the podcast. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, these are iTunes reviews that I'm sharing with you guys. iTunes ranks the search results based on how many subscribers you have, how many reviews you have, how high of like a 5-star review you have and things like that. And so when people are searching for key terms like budgeting, homeschooling, podcasts for women, any other keywords like that, the more subscribers you have, the more reviews you have, it is going to help the podcast come up higher in the search results. So that's a lot of the reason why I'm asking you guys to share reviews and subscribe if you haven't already. It's not necessarily for me. It's for the growth of the podcast. It's for helping future listeners find the podcast so they can learn the same lessons and have the same takeaways, the same aha moments that you guys are experiencing. Future listeners can have those. They can't have them if they can't find the podcast. So I have been sharing reviews with you guys on the weeks that I'm not doing interviews. And this week's review comes from Shannon, and she says, so inspiring. Sammy is so real, down to earth. This podcast is helping me stay focused, inspired, and excited about getting out of debt, living a happier, simpler life, and becoming a better person. She has interesting guests, and I have learned a ton. So happy to go back to all the weeks I missed before I found her. She is fantastic, and if you are into personal development, this is the podcast for you. That is so sweet, Shannon. Thank you so much. And that's one of the things I love about podcasts is they don't expire. So even if you're just joining us in episode 49, you can go back and listen to all of the previous episodes and you can listen to them multiple times. I have been known to do that on some of my favorite podcasts as well. Just kind of like binge listen over and over again, like episodes that are really, really helpful. So anyway, okay, let's dig into this week's topic. So how to homeschool on a budget. Okay, I'm writing the notes for this and I'm kind of getting my thoughts together because there's so many thoughts that I have on homeschooling, but really kind of sticking to the money aspect of it. This isn't a debate of are you for or against homeschooling or any of that. This is strictly like if you are interested in homeschooling, what are the money aspects of it? So I honestly think that the biggest way that homeschooling will affect your budget and affect your money is possibly the loss of time that you could be working and making an income while your kids were in traditional public school, right? Or even in daycare. And we've thought about this a lot, about the fact that, you know, I could be working a full-time job out of the house if our kids were in public school and what that would do for us financially. And I honestly think that that is the biggest money factor when it comes to homeschooling. The actual physical act of doing the schooling is not that expensive. So that's where we find a lot of parents who are already stay-at-home parents. And this isn't just for moms. Actually, in our local homeschool group, there are a couple of dads. Well, there's a couple of dads who full-time do the homeschooling and the mom works outside of the home. There are a couple of families who they both work and they kind of juggle the homeschooling responsibilities. There's some that a grandparent will do the homeschooling while both the parents work. There's all kinds of different ways that this can happen. It isn't just a cut and dry, like something you would see in a movie, the stay-at-home mom who stays home all day in her apron and like has this like little perfect classroom set up in their home. It doesn't have to be that way. If that's what you want, that's great. But it doesn't have to be that way. So I think if you are interested in homeschooling and your work situations are what is deterring you, that there are ways that you can think outside the box. So one, it doesn't have to be just the mother staying at home doing the homeschooling. It could be solely the father, or it could be a grandparent, or you could both work and you could juggle the homeschooling responsibilities, or you can work from home. So I shared a lot of my working from home advice in episode 41 about starting your own business or starting a blog that could become a business and things like that. So I'll link to episode 41 if you didn't have a chance to listen to it. But there are tons and tons of parents who work from home and homeschool at the same time. I'm one of them. And there are so many women that I follow on social media that do the same thing. And I also think that a lot of it is time management. And I think that a lot of people get the misconception that homeschooling is recreating school at home. It's not necessarily. It is not an 8-hour, 5-day-a-week thing. It just isn't. It doesn't take that long. If you really factor in to public school, how much time is in there for transportation, for switching classes, for bathroom breaks, for lunchtime, for recess, for, you know, all the other in-between kind of moments, there really isn't that much, that many hours of actual like learning going on. And so I feel like when we homeschool, we cut out a lot of that excess. And I was homeschooled off and on throughout my childhood. And I finished my last 3.5 years of high school homeschooled. So I know what it's like from all different aspects. I didn't start being homeschooled until I was in third grade, and then I went back and forth a lot depending on where we lived, which is a whole nother story. But I've been homeschooled in elementary, junior high, and high school on and off, and I also know what it's like for the preschool age with my own kids. So I've had a taste of all of it either through my own kids or through my own experience, and it doesn't take that long. No matter what age you are. Yes, in high school, I did spend a lot more time than my kids do with their, you know, preschool, early elementary ages. But it's not 8 hours, 5 days a week at all. So there is plenty of time for you to, one, have a life. and it's not just like you're every single day, that's all you're doing. There is plenty of other time, and there is plenty of time for you to work from home or have a part-time job outside of the home or even a full-time job, you know, and you're really good at juggling it. But I think a lot of it is time management. And I shared a lot back in episode 43 about my fresh start weekends and preparing for the week ahead. And a lot of people ask me, like, how do you do it all? And especially when my husband is at work for 3 weeks, you know, how do you juggle everything? The answer is I'm juggling, you guys. I'm not perfect. I'm definitely nowhere close to perfect at this. And there are some weeks where you could look at my house and it would be like not perfect, of course, but like ready for guests to come over for no apparent reason other than I'm just on top of it this week. And there are other weeks where it's like, dear God, please no one stop by unannounced because I haven't done dishes in 3 days and everything in between, you guys. So I am not perfect by any means, but one of the things that helps me the most is time management. And so moving to the smaller house has been a big key factor in that, where I don't have to spend nearly as much time on housework as I used to when we were in the 3,000 square foot house versus now in 750 square feet. Obviously, it doesn't take that long to clean. And we've purged so much that there's not that much laundry to do. There's not much, you know, we don't have a very big yard, so there's not much outside stuff to do, and et cetera, et cetera. And so I also have cut out a lot of stuff, unnecessary time wasters, and other things that I talk about in episode 43, and how I really, you know, I get ahead of the game on Saturday and Sundays, usually just Sundays, because usually Saturdays are busy. But on Sundays, I get ahead of the game. You know, I get my housework done. I plan my week. I figure out, okay, where can I juggle? What events do we have going on? What work do I have going on? And what windows do we have for school? So school isn't always, it's not always like 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock or whatever time. It's really like little windows of time. And sometimes we'll go a week or more without doing school because life is busy. And other times we'll do school every single day for several weeks. That's okay. I think for us, I used to be like feeling like I was a failure as a mom and a homeschool teacher because I wasn't doing it so rigidly. But the more that I've kind of gotten into the journey and loosened up a little bit from my control freak ways, I realized that life doesn't really happen like that. And I think that one of the beauties of a homeschooling experience is that your kids get to learn how to be humans, not children, not just children. You know what I mean? They're tiny humans. And as adults, we don't always live such a rigid life, especially not in our lifestyle. Like, we just have a very non-traditional, with me working from home and my husband's work schedule with 3 weeks on and 3 weeks off. And that's us. Like, our life kind of goes in waves, you know? So we live kind of differently depending on whether or not my husband's home, what's going on, all that. So anyway, it doesn't have to be super rigid, I think was my point of all of that time management rambling. And so if that is scaring you, don't let it scare you. It doesn't have to be, you know, like something you would see on a movie and all of that. But I think that money is something that really holds people back from wanting to homeschool, the desire to homeschool. And maybe it isn't possible right now, money-wise. Like, maybe both parents do need to work full-time. Maybe there isn't a grandparent who can help. Our mothers definitely couldn't homeschool, you know, help homeschool. They both still work full-time. We have our kids have very young grandparents. So both of our mothers still work full-time. And that's just not our reality. And maybe it's not yours either. And so maybe you're just like, look, we need both of our full-time incomes. There's no one who could help. It's just not going to work right now. Okay, maybe that is your reality right now. But I want you to realize that if you have this desire in your heart to homeschool, to have your kids home with you, to spend more time with them than you do apart from them, I don't want money to be the thing that holds you back. And what I mean by that is maybe that's not your reality right now, but that doesn't have to be that way forever, okay? Maybe that is one of your whys. Maybe that is one of your goals, okay? Like, a lot of people will list, like, retiring at a certain age or owning a home or building their dream home or et cetera, as their goals. Maybe one of your financial goals is to be able to either cut back to part-time or work from home or not work at all and be a stay-at-home parent and homeschool, okay? Maybe that is one of your goals. And maybe that is something that that's the driving force for you to get your money in order, to get out of debt, to build up your savings, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe that is your goal. Maybe it's not a reality right now, but maybe it could be in 2 or 3 years or next year or 5 years, you know? And that needs to be one of your driving forces. Maybe that is your driving force for moving to a smaller home. So you're not, you know, spending all your time cleaning all the time. You're not spending all of your extra money paying for a house that's too big for you. Okay, that was a big driving force for us because we were like, something's got to give. And I don't want to work full time out of the house and send our kids to public school. I would rather live in a small house. So it's a lot of what are your values? What are your goals? And, you know, how can you make the two coincide? And I also think realizing that it doesn't have to be a forever thing. Like I said, I went back and forth from public school to homeschool and I turned out just fine. my husband did as well. He had a experience where he went to private school. He went to public school. He was homeschooled. He went back to public school. So he kind of had a back and forth experience as well. So we both had very non-traditional education experiences and we both turned out just fine. So, you know, don't let that be like, oh, I'm going to scar them forever if I put them back and forth. No, they'll be okay. They'll be okay as long as, you know, you love them and you support them and you're there for them, you know, all that. So don't let that be like a, oh, it's going to be, it has to be one way or the other. No, no. Okay. So on the terms of curriculum, because this is always where the conversation goes after everyone's like, okay, I've decided for sure I want to do this. Now, what do I do? So curriculum is a question that I get asked about a lot. And you can, you know, Google different kinds of curriculum all day long and different brands of books and things like that all day long. And you'll get very overwhelmed very quickly. I have a lot of years of experience with homeschooling. And every year in about August or so, when I sit down to think about new curriculum, I'm like, ugh. This is why I don't like this. This is what is overwhelming. The curriculum is really overwhelming to me. It's exciting because I'm a bookworm and I love, you know, I love all of that kind of stuff. I'm right at home in a school supply store or a craft store. I love all that kind of stuff, but it can get really overwhelming when you start looking at prices, when you start trying to plan things and all of that. So what I do is I will get on the websites and I will make a list of the books that I think I need, how much they cost, and then, you know, I'll kind of go through that list of like, okay, do I really need this? And I take some time. I set time apart to dig into it, to plan it, to budget it, to be like, okay, she really doesn't need this book. She could wait until, you know, mid school year to get this book, or actually she kind of doesn't need it at all. Let's cross that off the list, you know, things like that. So last year, or at the beginning of the last school year in August, we switched to Sunlight curriculum because I had a lot of Instagram friends who were using it and loving it. And we had been using Abeka, and I was raised on Abeka, but also in the 90s or early 2000s, there wasn't a lot of options like there is today. When we first started homeschooling, we knew like no one else that was homeschooled. And so my mom, you know, got what she could, and that was Abeka. And it was great. It's very Christian based. which I actually enjoyed a lot. It brought up a lot of good conversations, and I feel like I was very, very prepared for college. But Albeca was turning out to be a little too rigid. Again, I'm, you know, I get suffocated. I feel suffocated if my life looks too rigid. I need that spaciousness, and I need to be able to kind of breathe a little bit and put my own flair into the schooling. And Albeca was just kind of a little too rigid, especially for my oldest daughter. She is, she's not like, how do I put this? She's not actually like diagnosed like ADHD, but she does have a lot of the tendencies. So if something is boring to her, if the pages just look boring, like she's out, she's mentally checked out, she's not having it. And we were kind of finding Albeca to be like that for her. And so we tried Sunlight. We really liked it. We'll probably continue to use it for the foreseeable future. And last year we spent probably about $200. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head. Not really that much for all three girls. Obviously, the little two are still pretty young, but they did get, the little two each got a handwriting book and a math book and a science workbook. So what we did with the science was we got the, Sunlight also uses a lot of Usborne books, which I love Usborne books, which I'll talk about that in a minute. But we used a science Usborne like curriculum book. So it was a textbook style. And then we just got workbooks for each one of the girls. And we used the same science book for all three of them. So they're 8, 5, and 3 now. And obviously they were, you know, like about a year younger back at the beginning of the school year. And I just would read the curriculum to them, and then we would go through the workbooks. And obviously, you know, Melanie's 3, she can't really answer the questions, but we would discuss the questions. I let her scribble in the workbook, and she felt like she was participating, and she was still learning. She just wasn't filling out the workbooks like June was, and Izzy was kind of doing, you know, an in-between. So again, it doesn't have to be super rigid, and we really love the thing we love about Sunlight is that it is very literature based, and so they use a lot of Usborne books. If you're familiar with the Usborne books, their science books are great. They're fantastic. Like the colors in them, the pages, they're just so beautiful, and my kids love them. And so that's what we have been using for science, and it keeps all three of their attention. We do it as a family. So we just sit down, we kind of read aloud, and we discuss, and they love that. The more that we can do together as a family is better for my sanity because I'm not multitasking. So when we sit down to do math, they're all three doing something different. And that's a little like I'm juggling. but that's like probably a whole nother conversation of how you manage that. But a lot of it'll be like if June's doing something really hard, she'll wait till her sisters are taking a nap, or I'll send them in the other room to play, or we'll kind of, you know, juggle and you two go outside, me and this sister are going to do something. But that's a lot of knowing your kids, knowing what works for them. Some kids, you know, the noise of their siblings doesn't bother them. Other kids, it's like a full-on distraction, all of that. But yeah, so browse online, make a list of what you feel like you actually need. Don't get a bunch of junk that you don't need. They're going to try to sell you a full kit, no matter what brand of curriculum you use, whether it's Sunlight or Albeca or all of the other curriculum out there. They're going to try to sell you a full kit. You most of the time don't need it. If you feel more comfortable having the full kit, go for it. But I bet you your second year, you won't feel like you need it. And again, it does depend on which state you're in, which country you're in, what your laws are. Make sure you know your laws. Texas, we are not strict at all on homeschooling. We don't have to check in at all. They honestly don't really care what we do. We don't have to answer to anyone, which is amazing and like a reason to stay in Texas if you're a homeschooler. So we have complete freedom over our homeschooling. But, you know, for example, you don't need all of the textbooks. For example, my kids are so little that I don't get the teacher books. I don't get the answer key books. I don't need them. I know basic addition. I know basic spelling, handwriting, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm not going to spend $20 a book to have the teacher edition to tell me what 2 + 3 is, right? So just be smart when you're going through the curriculum and be like, okay, I really don't need that. Or they're not going to use this like experiment kit with things that you could go buy at Hobby Lobby or the dollar store for half the price. It's just a fancy craft kit, basically. So just be conscious of, like, if you're buying a full kit, what's actually in that kit and what could it be like if you broke it down and bought it, you know, piece by piece. And with Sunlight, they have, like I said, they use a lot of the Usborne books. And so I was shopping on Amazon and like comparing prices. And there were a couple of books that I bought on Amazon because they were cheaper. And there were others that it was cheaper to buy them through the Sunlight website. So I had a full on list going. And, you know, Amazon Prime has been really, really helpful for us with this kind of stuff. For one, you realize you need a book and you can get it in 2 days. That's amazing. And a lot of times it's a lot cheaper to just get it through Amazon than all these other websites. So Amazon Prime has been really, really helpful in that respect. But, you know, there are so many different types of homeschooling that I think if you're not familiar with the homeschooling world might be brand new to you. So do your research. You know, there's not just the traditional like classroom at home where you have a whole designated room with little desks and a chalkboard or like a whiteboard or something. It's not always like that. There's life schooling, like unschooling, where you just learn from life. You just live life and learn things as you go. There's road schooling where people travel, they RV, they do things like that, and they homeschool on the road. You know, there's all kinds of things. There's Montessori, which is like a style of homeschooling where it's kind of more hands-on learning. There's Charlotte Mason, there's Waldorf. There's so many different kinds that I was not familiar with until my kids got into all of this. Because like I said, back in my day, it was like you bought Aubeca books and you sat at the kitchen table, and it was very like there was basically like one way to homeschool. So I found this really great article that I'm going to link to that explains a little bit of the different styles of homeschooling and the different types of learning, like the Montessori and the other things like that, and explains it a little bit better. That'll give you a jumping off point for you to dig into that a little bit more. And I'll also link to Sunlight Curriculum if you want to check them out. Again, you know, do your research, Google. Another thing that's really, really helpful is Pinterest. Don't forget about Pinterest. A lot of people will be like, I didn't even think about Pinterest. Don't forget about Pinterest. You can do a lot of research on there for frugal ideas. For if you live in a small space, a small house, you don't have a designated classroom, which is how we're set up. We don't have a designated classroom. But there are a lot of Pinterest ideas that you can, you know, find for kind of like the small living kind of hacks and stuff. For us, we just have one closet, and that's our designated school closet. We have our books in there. We also have all of our arts and craft supplies in there, all of our puzzles, all of our paint, like all that kind of stuff is in that one closet. And we pull out what we need and we sit at the table, we sit on the floor in the living room, we sit on our bed, the couch, whatever. And so it works. You don't have to have a full classroom and all that kind of stuff. So do some research on Pinterest for storage ideas, for frugal ideas, for how to make projects, different things like that. You're going to find so, so much on Pinterest. You're going to find some blogs you can follow, some social media accounts that you can follow, things like that. You know, and you'll find probably a lot more ideas than you realize on Pinterest. But so we bought some curriculum We spent maybe like $200 on some books, very basic books, some science, some math and handwriting for the little two. June also got, she got math, handwriting, and phonics and science. And I think that's kind of it. And, you know, we just will utilize the library. They have tons of books at home. They do a lot of arts and crafts. So we make sure that we keep them stocked on crayons, markers, pencils, blank paper, notebooks, watercolor paints, all that kind of stuff, which we get probably like 99% of that at Dollar Tree because they're going to go through it pretty fast anyway. So they don't really care about the quality of a notebook or any of that kind of stuff. So we go to Dollar Tree, we stock up puzzles, workbooks, all kinds of stuff, craft project things, and it's really not that expensive. Again, you know, utilize the library. Some other things that I think people forget about are resale shops, you know, Goodwill and like other types of resale shops. You can find a lot of things like books or other kinds of tools, like a globe or a microscope or like things like that that are really expensive. If you look around, you can usually find them used at a resale store, a garage sale, or a Facebook group, things like that. Another thing that our homeschool group used to do, we didn't do it this past semester, but we would kind of have like a donation spot, and we would just kind of have like a box set up when we would have our co-op days, and we would just bring things that we didn't need anymore, textbooks or art supplies, things like that, and we would just kind of swap out. And the rule was like, if you got something, you know, bring something, and it wasn't really strict, or just kind of doing hand-me-downs. We have a Facebook group for our homeschoolers in our area, and people post all the time, like, does anyone have such and such book? Or, you know, hey, I have these books that I'm getting rid of. Anybody want them? Things like that. And, you know, hand-me-down books are great. Or, you know, if you have more than one child, planning ahead in that way of, okay, I have this textbook and it comes with a workbook. Let me go ahead and order 3 workbooks so all of the kids can just use the same textbook when they get to this grade level. Things like that. And that will save you money over time. I already mentioned Amazon Prime. It's just now on my notes for some reason, but Amazon Prime for getting books. And Netflix, honestly, has been a really big resource for us. There's educational shows for all different ages. There's documentaries. There's all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, I'm a very big Magic School Bus. You know, there's a relatively new show on Netflix called Brainchild, which is like a science kind of science show for a little bit older kids. Like June is 8 and she loves it. And the other two, that some of it's kind of over their head, but shows like that that are, to me, that kind of counts. School. So I hope that this has helped you guys kind of, if you are interested in homeschooling. I don't want money to be the reason why you don't do it. It is a big responsibility, and it is quite overwhelming. So, you know, I don't want to discredit that at all. But it isn't impossible, and you don't have to be, you know, insanely smart or, you know, whatever to do it. And I think a lot of it is knowing your child. You know how they learn. You know, I mean, you've taught them things since they were born. You taught them how to eat. You potty trained them. You know, taught them how to pick up after themselves. You taught them their manners, all those basic things. And then if you can do that, you can definitely homeschool them. You learn with them. There are some things that I'm like, how do I explain this? And I do my best, and I go into it with an open heart. And, you know, it's not always perfect. It's not cookie cutter. It's not always like something that you would see on a movie, but it works, and it's life. And basically, we show up and we do life together. And sometimes we have a book in front of us when we do it, and other times we don't. And it all works out in the end. But I definitely don't want money to be the thing that holds you back. If it's something where you're not in a financial situation to quit your full-time job, work from home, or not work at all, or something in the middle, I want you to put that on your goals list. Be able to homeschool the kids. Be able to work from home. Be able to switch to part-time or whatever that looks like for you to make it financially work. And I want that to be one of the driving forces, because I feel like if you have a desire in your heart, whether that be to retire or travel or build a home or homeschool your kids, whatever that is, I feel like you should be working towards that dream, right? And homeschooling can definitely be something that's on your goals list, can definitely be something that is your driving force in getting your money in order. So I hope that answers the basic questions. Again, I'm not a homeschooling expert, but you guys, Google, do some Pinterest searching, and you're going to find a lot of resources out there. So let me know what you guys think about this episode. Share, especially this time of year, you know, summer break. A lot of people are kind of reassessing their school situation. You never know who could need to hear this message today. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Don't forget to go and leave me a review, and so I can shout you out on a future episode. And subscribe if you haven't already. That is what is going to help this podcast grow. I appreciate you. I see you. I'm here for you. I'm cheering you on in everything that you do. And I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.